Tempting as it is to dive into the world of Median and Persian governance and what the heck a satrap is, yes, I did look it up. It means viceroy or governor. And then to consider the story of Daniel in exile that we heard for this evening, that fabulous story from Daniel chapter 6. I am going to leave that piece of scripture for this evening. And for my shorts this evening, short thoughts this evening, I am going to go to the gospel in a moment. But first, I want to talk about mansplaining. We all know what mansplaining is. It's basically where or when a qualified woman has something explained to her by a less qualified or uninformed man. Oh God, am I mansplaining? That'd be a bit meta. Anyway, like when Margaret Atwood shared a cartoon which had women voting for Trump emerging from the voting booth and picking up their red robe from the Handmaid's Tale. To which one over-eager commentator responded, "But that book is about the Islamic Republic." To which another commentator had to respond, "I think she might know best." My favorite description of mansplaining is that it's like putting on the GPS in your car, only to have it describe your usual route out of the city as you drive. You know, the route you take pretty much every day and know like the back of your hand. Mansplaining is, of course, one of the symptoms of patriarchy, which encourages us men to believe that we've always got a better answer than any woman in the room, even when we don't have a clue. There are, of course, other versions of over-explaining and patronizing others, which aren't necessarily gendered. But mansplaining seems to be a thing that's not going anywhere soon, sadly. And this strange beginning leads me into a confession. I really do not like the explanation given of the parable of the sower in this evening's reading. The second half of our reading, our second reading today, tells us that it's all about the soil, the kind of soil we are. Rocky, shallow, compacted, or fertile soil, so that the word of God, whatever that is, can grow. It seems, pun intended, somewhat shallow to me. It's a bit like having the parable mansplained. I'm glad to say I'm not the only one that thinks this way. A number of scholars do seem to think that this explanation may have been added by the earlier hearers of the story, the early Christian communities, come up with it to encourage those who are thinking of leaving behind the faith because things are really difficult. A bit like this morning's gospel reading, which was designed to encourage the hearers to remain faithful in the face of persecution. I'll leave you to look that one up. So I don't feel too bad for challenging whether or not Jesus said these words of explanation, because I think it seems too neat. And Jesus is not renowned for neatness. He seems to prefer things open-ended, messy, with questions unanswered, or even with questions answered with more questions. There's another bit in the middle of Matthew chapter 13, and if you look at your orders of service, you'll see that some of it's been edited out, where Jesus essentially says to the perplexed disciples that he uses parables to confuse people, but they have been given the keys to understand the parables. That passage also seems a little bit hinky to me, a bit of reassurance to the early Jesus movements that they will learn and understand as they get to know the in language of this emerging way of being. It seems to me, and I could be wrong, it's happened before, that Jesus chose to speak in parables to allow his audience to find meaning where they were, not to be told how they had to think or feel. Jesus, I believe, wanted his hearers to be those who listened. Let those who have ears hear. He wanted to be his hearers to be those who reflected deeply on what they had been told, not those who were spoon-fed doctrine or dogma, but those who came to truth for themselves and in community. I heard Bishop Logan, our previous bishop, preach on parables a number of times, and I was inspired by two things that he said, and I've carried them with me. Firstly, that the parables always have a twist. that is meant to make things stand out for the hearer, and we often miss that twist because of our 21st century context, something that may have been very obvious for those who heard them the first time round. For instance, the parable of the lost sheep. The idea of leaving 99 sheep behind to go and look for one is kind of daffy. Leaving 99 open to predators or wandering off by themselves is not what any sensible shepherd would have done. Likewise, in today's parable, the word used for the sower's spreading of seed, says theologian Sarah Dillon Brewer, is more like squandering than sowing. That the sower is wastefully spreading the seed. A statement about profligacy, generosity, spendthriftness. Yes, it is a word I look that up too. That's a twist we don't get unless we read around the parable and dwell on it and reflect on it. There's no real twist in the explanation of the parable that we have as presented. And the second striking thing that I heard Bishop Logan say preaching on parables was how parables can be entered into through any character or part of the story. We can engage with them on multiple levels. I could spend my time meditating on what it would mean to be the seed or the sower or the birds who steal the seed and get something different every time I read. But the explanation tells me I have to just think about what kind of soil I am. Meh. The danger of looking for explanations is that we take away the journey of discovery and learning that comes from encountering the parables with depth and nuance and variety. When we let go of the need to know what they mean and consider what they offer to our journey and dance of faith right here and right now. One day, it may well be very helpful for me to muse on what soil I might be and for the sowing of justice and of grace. Another day, it might help me to consider what the seed might be and what I am responsible for sharing, what harvest I might hope for. These parables are wonderful, perplexing, heart and mind expanding stories that are to draw us in deeper to the divine mystery. Let's not shut them down. Indeed, let's not shut any of our faith down by trying to explain it and make it only about one way of seeing the world. Amen.